Hello? Hello? Is everybody? Oh, hey, we're rolling now. I would like everybody please to take your seats. This is a pretty packed house. It looks like we've made some room for people to breathe. We're going to start this next session of our candidate forum. And I'd like to introduce the candidates for the Assembly 113. On your ballot in alphabetical order will be, and the same way as before, also the way they drew for who's going to go first and who's going to go second are Carrie Warner. She's on the Democratic and Independence lines. And Morgan Zegers. Did I say that right?
Zegers.
Morgan Zegers on the Republican, Conservative, and Reform Party lines. Now it is time to hear their two-minute opening statements, and Carrie Warner will be going first.
Good evening. I am pleased to be here, and I'd like to start by thanking the League of Women Voters for organizing this important evening as we participate in the democratic process. I'd like to thank my family members, my sister Stephanie Tobin and my aunt Sue Wilhelm, for joining us this evening. It's always great to have their support. And thank you to all of you for making time on this evening on a cold, rainy night to come out and participate in the democratic process. It's very important, I think, that we always pay attention to who's running for office, that we have an opportunity and we take the opportunity to ask questions of each candidate, and we ask them to be accountable for their answers. As I sit here before you, running for re-election to my third term, serving you in the New York State Assembly, I stand proudly on my record of accessibility, accomplishments, and accountability. I have held over 3,000 individual constituent meetings. I've held 25 town hall meetings around the district in every part of the district. I have stood at the lectern and answered questions until the last question was answered. Out of all that information that I have gathered, I have built a legislative portfolio driven strictly by the opportunities and challenges that our communities face. I'm proud to have passed 25 pieces of bipartisan legislation, with each piece of legislation sponsored by a Republican in the Senate. I am proud to have brought back $7.5 million of state money to support key projects in our district. And each and every one of my votes is available to you online. And I know people are paying attention because they write and they call and they ask me questions about how I voted and they thank me for the work that I'm doing. So I'm pleased to be here tonight. I'm delighted to answer your questions and I am proud to ask for your support in my reelection bid. Thank you.
We're gonna try to hold our applause. Since Carrie got her applause, I guess Morgan Zegers will get her opening statement applause. But after that, we're just gonna wait until the end, until the closing statements to have applause and like hoots and hollers from the audience. And that way we can get more questions answered. Morgan Zegers, it's your turn.
Thank you so much, Kathy. Thank you to the League of Women Voters for having us and bringing us together tonight to talk about these important issues. Thank you to the audience. I know if you're like my family, usually your Monday night is pretty busy. So thank you for coming and taking the time to listen to us. And thank you to my family for being here. I am extremely excited to be running, and that's because I grew up in Malta, New York, in a military family. My father actually just got promoted to colonel, and it's been a really exciting time for my family. But he served in Operation Iraqi Freedom in 2004, which qualified my family to join the VFW. In high school, I joined the VFW and soon became an officer in the Ladies Auxiliary and decided to go to college in veterans advocacy. But as I was about to graduate college, I had always planned on building a future in New York State. And for some reason, after experiencing all of those years living here and growing up here, the fact that we pay the highest state and local tax burden in the country, the fact that we're the worst climate for small businesses in the country, the fact that we're one of the worst states to retire in the country, and the fact that we are one of the most corrupt states in the country, all of that added up together and made me feel less confident about building a future here for me and my family and my future career. That is why I'm running for assembly, because I am not alone on that. Over 1 million people have fled this state in the last 10 years because of the policies we have and because of the incredibly high taxes. I'm running for assembly to get New York State heading in a better direction, and I think my values rooted in freedom and opportunity, focusing on ethical leadership, economic development on Main Street, and affordability are going to be exactly what we need in the assembly to get New York heading in that better direction. So thank you very much. I look forward to hearing your questions, and I look forward to sharing our visions for the future of New York State. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to do questions from the audience again. I want to remind you that you have 1.5 minutes to respond to the questions. You don't have to respond. You may pass if you wish. You have been given 2 red cards to add to your response or to respond to something another candidate has said. And you can't use those red cards for your closing statements. So once again, I want to have people who, we're going to take questions from the audience, and if you could kind of walk down the center aisle or the far aisle and then come on around, we'll have you come up. And this time we're going to do it a little differently. When you come up, I want you to stand closer to the mic when you ask your question, and then I'm going to have you stand up here because there have been times when we've needed a little clarification on what the question meant. So, and Carrie Warner will be starting this question round.
Okay, come on up.
Okay. My name is Bridget Martin. I live in South Glens Falls. And my question is regarding Jacob's Law. I have a child who's a student in the school there. South Glens Falls has had issues related to suicide and bullying. We're no place for hate school. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about Jacob's Law and how you think that can actually become a law in New York State.
Thank you, Bridget. Jacob's Law is a really important piece of legislation. I am a co-sponsor of Jacob's Law, and its origin is in the very sad suicide of a young man in South Glens Falls who had been bullied for many years. The bill itself calls for reporting to parents if a teacher, administrator, or guidance counselor knows that the child has been bullied, so that there can be some effective intervention. This is a bill that has been passed in the Senate. We worked hard on it in the Assembly. As I said, I'm a co-sponsor on it. I hope that we pass it in the coming year. There have been some modifications to it to address some of the concerns about that were expressed through the LGBT community, and I think that with the modifications that have been made, it should be something that we can get passed.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Morgan?
Thank you for your question. I have too been bullied in high school. I've had some pretty awful stories of friends, and I've actually had a very close family member commit suicide because of bullying in high school, so I will gladly co-sponsor Jacob's Law. And not only will I do that, I will work to make sure that it is signed into law, and that means working across the aisle, working to get others in my colleagues' group to make sure that they support that as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, the next question, Morgan Zegers, you're going to get to answer it first.
Good evening. I'm Stephen Shiroki from Wilton. I am a licensed mental health counselor and a teacher, but I'm speaking as a constituent, not in any of my professional capacities. And I've been a long-time season ticket holder at Saratoga Racecourse, and I also was a broadcaster from there. And there was all of this controversy about the franchise as to whether or not it should be given back. The governor had a proposal, NARA had a proposal, and the NARA proposal was heavily carried, I think, because of lobbying and et cetera, even though the governor's proposal may have been better.
Question, okay.
Now we're paying $6 for a Coke on the racetrack. Our families cannot afford that. Is there going to be some work as far as regulating what can go on at the racetrack so our families can enjoy a day at the races? Thank you.
Stephen, thank you for your question. I have been going to the racetrack ever since I can remember. My mom and I and all of our family go to celebrate her birthday every August. To me, I feel you on going to the racetrack now and feeling a little too priced out, and I think a lot of us in the middle class can understand that, and it's a little frustrating considering how great of a part the track is in our community. I want to make sure that it's accessible for everybody, and I want to make sure that the government is not being too bureaucratic when it comes to increasing those costs. I'm always a fan of privatization, and that is what I will work for when it comes to the track. Thank you.
Thank you. I led the effort in the Assembly with Senator Marchione in the Senate to reprivatize the racetrack because, personally, I'm a fan of free enterprise. I'm a capitalist, and I don't think the government has really any skills at running an industry, let alone a business. So we have reprivatized NYRA. The management at NYRA makes the decisions as to who their vendors are for food and beverage. I have a lot of issues with the choice that they've made as their food and beverage contract. I think they need to find a new vendor for a lot of reasons, customer service to pricing inclusive. But those are decisions that the management of a private entity makes, not decisions that the government makes.
Okay, thank you, Carrie. Next question. I want to remind everyone that you have 30 seconds to ask your question. So.
Good evening. My name is Candy Ellis, and I live in Saratoga Springs. And I have a question. You have said that you want term limits for politicians. Does that mean you're supportive of Assemblywoman Warner's bipartisan term limits legislation?
Should I answer? It goes to Carrie first, though. That's, sorry.
She can elaborate.
It's my opinion that we need to do a number of things to improve the ethical framework that our elected officials operate in. And one of the things that I feel very strongly about is that there should be term limits for elected officials. So I've introduced a bill, again, a bipartisan bill with Senator Marchione. I have a second version with Senator Valesky that would cap the number of years that a legislator can serve at 12. It would increase the term from 2 years to 4 years, thus taking 50% of the money out of politics, and then limit them to 3 4-year terms for a total of 12 years of service. Because frankly, if you can't accomplish it in 12 years, you're probably not ever going to. Thank you.
Thank you. Morgan?
Thank you very much for the question. I am very much in favor of term limits, and actually I would support the Public Officers Accountability Act. If this was passed, it would be the strongest ethics reform package that this state has ever seen. It includes term limits for politicians and for chairpeople of committees. It would prevent corrupt politicians from using campaign donations as legal defense. And it would do a whole bunch more. And that's the kind of ethics reform that I would support. I actually have to say my opponent has voted against term limits, and that's something that I will never do. I do not believe in, you know, saying what you're going to say in front of people and then voting the opposite way. Thank you.
Okay, I think we have a red card coming out.
No.
Okay. False alarm. Okay. Morgan Zegers, you're gonna go first this time.
Hi, good evening. I'm Martha Devaney, pardon me, from Wilton. And my question has to do with the governor's, pardon me, reforming the energy vision. What is your position on the governor's REV agenda, and how can this be useful to increasing New York's energy independence?
Thank you very much. I'm all for looking for opportunities to use renewable energy and green energy in New York State. That being said, I think there's a balance between focusing on economic development and economic opportunities and over-regulating businesses and also being supportive of our environment. So that being said, I will support fracking in New York State, and I think we need to focus on being supportive of our businesses and finding ways for energy to support the economic development that we need in New York State. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Carrie?
The governor's REV agenda is a focus on renewables, a focus on locally produced renewables, a focus on microgrids, which are more robust and less unstable. I know we lose power a lot in Round Lake. So I am a big supporter of the REV agenda. I'm a big supporter of us incorporating the kinds of technologies in that which are present here, for example, anaerobic digesters. We have enough cows in this state. And as we know, manure is the largest contributor of greenhouse gases. So we have enough cows in this state that if we had on-farm digesters, that we could cut the greenhouse gases in this state by 50% much faster than the governor's goal. We would also lower the cost of energy for our farms. And we wouldn't even need to have the question of fracked gas or not fracked gas, because we'd put renewable natural gas produced by manure into the natural gas system, which would be a much better solution for all of us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. The next question will go to Carrie Warner first.
My question really is directed for Ms. Ayers, but it has to go that way. So anyways, the question is, if this is the first professional job you were pursuing since leaving college, running for a political office, why do you criticize career politicians?
Should I answer that?
Do you care if she goes?
I do not care.
I'd be happy to take that question. Thank you very much. If you've read anything that I've said in this campaign, I have already said that I would not run for more than 5 terms. I don't have any plans to run for anything after. I just think my state's heading in a bad direction, and I want to contribute to getting it in a better direction, and I want to contribute with my personal experience. I'm not trying to bring a 21-year-old's experience to the Albany. I'm trying to bring a working-class, frustrated, tax-paying perspective to the legislative process in New York State. I've had over 8 jobs at this point, and I would say they're all professional, unless that's an insult to people who work in the working class. To me, I am going to bring a really important perspective, especially against Governor Cuomo and the Albany Assembly Democrats, who are continuing to overregulate our businesses, who are continuing to vote for tax hikes, and who are continuing to pass legislation that's out of touch with upstate New York. That's why I'm running. So thank you very much for your question, and I do not plan on going any further in politics after state level, so I can fix my state. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Carrie, you get to respond.
Thank you. I have 30 years of private sector experience working for high technology companies like IBM, Perot Systems, large companies and small companies. I've managed people. I've signed paychecks. I understand what it means to regulate industries. I understand what it means when the workers' comp audit team comes knocking on your door and you've got to produce that documentation in that moment. That's why when businesses came to me and said, you know what, workers' comp costs are killing us, you have to modernize the workers' comp system, I stood up to the Assembly Democrats and said, this is our time, we have to do this, we have got to modernize the workers' comp system. As a result of that, we took $2 billion out of the workers' comp system, which will be reflected in rates that the businesses have to pay. It's why I passed the agritourism bill that changed the liability standards for agritourism businesses. New York has some of the worst liability standards in the country, and I passed the very first piece of tort reform that this state has seen in decades. Why? Because it would benefit the small businesses that are surrounding us, the orchards like Saratoga Orchard, the Christmas tree farmers. These are the things that I focus on, and I can do it because I've had the experience that those business managers have each and every day.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, and we got a red card.
Thank you very much for that. What I want to point out is that this is much more than the experience that you had before taking this office. For me, this is about the fact that I'm going to be a vocal and active leader. Every single one of those guilty verdicts that we've had from Governor Cuomo's corrupt group of friends, she's been silent on. And I promise you I won't do that. When I go door knocking, some of the best experiences that I've had are when people literally look like they are just thankful that somebody is going to run and bring a powerful voice when Governor Cuomo disrespects them. I also think the middle class and the working class is disenfranchised by these people who think they're holier than thou. I'm going to bring a working class experience. One example I always talk about where my valued opinion would be extremely helpful is Governor Cuomo trying to end the tipping credit. My savings is built on tips that I earned in different restaurants. And I think it would be valuable to have more experiences of people who are unique, who've gone from being a waitress to being an assemblywoman. And I can talk to them about the experiences I've had with my coworkers, where they are paying the bills immediately from those tips that they earn, and the amount of consumers that I talk to who are worried the price of restaurants' food is going to go up. This is all about the experiences that we're going to bring. Mine are just a little unique. So thank you.
Okay, very good. And we got another red card.
You know, every day we turn on the news, we open the paper, and we see another elected official has been arrested. Just this past week, Assemblyman Joe Arrigo, a Republican from Western New York, was arrested. And it's a terrible, disheartening thing when that happens. But here's what I know about my constituents. They elected me to solve problems to get work done. They didn't elect me to be critic in charge. The constituents that I represent are smart enough to open the newspaper and read the story, to listen to the news and draw their own conclusions and act on those conclusions when they go to the ballot box. They don't need my help. I am to say that I'm holier than thou, good God. I led 17,000 servers in opposition to Governor Cuomo's proposal to strip the tipped wage credit. I led a group of businessmen fighting the on-call scheduling regulations. I have stood up to Governor Cuomo in many, many ways. I'm really not his friend, and he's not my friend. Thank you.
Sure, that's your last one.
It is. That's my last one, so I'll keep this good and short. I just want to say you are being sent by these people to fight the problems. The number one problem is corruption. It's Governor Cuomo. If you can't stand up to him, then I don't want somebody in office who will not stand up to him with these problems. So that's all I'm going to say. Thank you very much. That's the problem in New York State that people hired you to handle.
Okay, we'll let that go. Next is going to be for Carrie Warner, first question, and come on up. Yeah, speak into the mic, hang out here.
Hi, I'm Colin, and I would like to know where the candidates stand on campaign finance reform and on issues like closing the LLC loophole and getting big money out of politics. And I'd like to ask Morgan Zeigers whether she supports Carrie Warner's legislation closing the LLC loophole.
Okay, Carrie is going to go first, and Morgan will have her opportunity to answer that question. Let's keep it civil, everyone.
You know, it is absolutely true that campaigns cost too much money, and that there's too much money in politics. And that money is a corrupting influence. There's no question about that, that we should do something to limit the money in politics. We are constrained by what the Supreme Court has done with respect to equating political speech to money contributed. So within those constructs, we have to work. Personally, I think we should close the LLC loophole. I'd like to see us control the amount of money that can be spent. If we can't control the amount of money that's raised, I'd like to see us control the amount of money that's spent. You know, the people own the airwaves. We license the airwaves through the FTC. It would be great if we could pass, if the federal government, because it would have to be done on a federal level, would say we're going to condition that license on making sure that you provide a certain fixed amount of minutes in each campaign to candidates for television coverage. And that way we wouldn't need to spend money on television. There are ways for us to do this. Unfortunately, it's not something that at the state we can do much in terms of regulating, but we should certainly press on our congressional representatives to do more to put some controls on how much money we spend on campaigns.
Okay, thank you very much. Next question.
Thank you so much for your question. It's nice to see you again. I met you at that town hall. It was great. When it comes to the biggest thing we need to focus on with campaign finance in New York State, it's handling the pay-to-play. Our state's corruption and Cuomo's corruption thrives on his failed economic development schemes and those phony schemes he uses to use pay-to-play to really line the pockets of his friends. That's a huge problem. One example, Cadillac, they asked for $1 million to renovate their New York City office. They then donated like $30,000 to Cuomo. That's ridiculous. And then guess what? They left the state anyways, right after. That's the kind of stuff I want to focus on. I want to bring transparency to that process to make sure that this pay-to-play will end. That's my focus as Assemblywoman. Also, I just want to say, when it comes to being upfront about corruption and about ethics reform, it's important to lead by example, and that's what I will definitely do. When it comes to other forms of ethical leadership, I'm going to be posting explanations of all of my votes on Facebook, and I'm going to make sure that my office is open so that people who are experiencing this corruption in Albany can come and talk to me, and we'll figure out a way to handle it. Thank you.
Okay. I think Carrie's going to use her red card.
Thank you. So let's talk about ethics reform. So in the 4 years that I have been in office, we've done two things. We have increased the disclosures so that you all have access to information about where each elected official's money comes from. We have also passed, finally, the constitutional amendment to strip those who have been convicted of ethical problems in their office. We've stripped up them of their pensions so that the taxpayers are not funding them throughout the rest of their life. We have more to do, and I am the co-sponsor on about 25 different ethics bills. One bill that I would call your attention to is 10651. It is a constitutional amendment to create a truly independent ethics investigation board that has full investigative and sanctioning powers up to and including removing somebody from office. This is a bill I am a co-sponsor on, and when polled, my opponent said that she would not support it. Thank you.
Okay, next question, and it is going to go to Carrie. Oh, no, it's going to go to Morgan Ziggers because it's her turn.
Hi, my name is Alan Stern. I'm from Greenwich. Thank you both for being here. The opioid crisis has been devastating to communities and families in our nation and our state and in our local communities. What can be done to alleviate the destruction that this epidemic has caused?
Is that for me?
Yes.
Thank you, Alan. It's nice to see you again, too. We met in Moreau earlier this year. When it comes to combating the opioid and heroin epidemic, what I want to focus on is not just throwing money at this issue, I want to make sure we have a multi-pronged approach to achieve real results for this. The first thing I want to focus on is treatment, making sure that people who are suffering from addiction have the access to the treatment that they need. That also means focusing on the fail first requirement. I think we need to take a look at that. That means right now insurance companies won't cover that addict until they have gone through a shorter rehab period and failed that period. They won't cover a long-term one until they fail that first short-term one. I want to end that. I think that's a really great start. The second is recovery. That means making sure recovery centers in the community have the resources and funding that they need and that they feel supported by local officials like myself or whoever is in office. The next one is enforcement, making sure our local law enforcement have the funding and the backing that they feel they need to make sure that they are saying, let's lock these people who are giving these drugs out to our community up and throw away the key. The last one is education. We need to make sure that we're educating our youth about the importance and the dangers that these drugs can bring to your lifestyle. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. There is no bigger crisis than the opioid epidemic. It's real and it's here, and it is affecting people across all socioeconomic spectrum, all age groups. It is the problem of our age. I meet frequently with the addiction medicine team at Saratoga Hospital to understand the trends and to understand what we are engaged with here and what are the tools that they need to be more successful. I meet with law enforcement and have similar conversations. So I am very much engaged in this fight. I brought home $250,000 for Saratoga Hospital to expand their addiction medicine program. I have provided funding to recovery centers in Saratoga and Washington County. During my time in office, we have addressed the problem of insurance companies not being willing to fund the first 3 days of recovery without having a pre-existing authorization. So now, if you show up and you are in need, you can get a 72-hour coverage. We need more recovery beds. I have had so many parents call me in the middle of the night and say, my kid is about to be released from Saratoga Hospital or Glens Falls Hospital. They need a bed to go to. Can you help me find a bed? And I go on the OASIS website, which has a nice tool for this, and we look and we can find a bed for a male, but it's a female, and it's not gonna be ready for 6 more weeks. It's not sufficient. We've gotta do better.
I just want to remind the candidates, I'm seeing people like some perplexed faces in the back of the room, to make sure you bring the microphone close to you when you talk so they can hear all of your answers. Okay, come on up. And this question will go to Carrie Warner first.
I'm Sarah Eidelman. I'm from Greenwich, and I grew up on a dairy farm, so I'm interested in the dairy business. New York's farms not only improve the upstate economy, they are beneficial to consumers throughout the state. How can we keep farming in New York a viable industry? Whoops, did you hear that? Yeah, I think you did.
Agriculture is the number one industry in New York State. We are the number three dairy state in the country, and our dairy farmers are challenged each and every day because the amount of money that they can get because of the federally dictated price is lower than the cost of production. And that's putting pressure on family farms, the smaller farms, every single day, and we see them going out of business. We heard over the summer there was a much publicized suicide from a local dairy farmer. We've got to do better with this. Some of the things that I've been doing are making sure that the EPF grant provides for full funding on farmland conservation, because farmland conservation, those dollars can help the farmers make investments in their farms so they can stay there. We raised the amount of funding for the Dairy Profit Institute coming out of Cornell, because that provides critical services to help farmers figure out how to make a profit. My support for the anaerobic digesters is intended to lower the fuel costs for farms and give them an opportunity to put power back on the grid and earn some money from that. I have a local is local bill, because I think supporting our local farmers is really important. We've passed a couple of pieces of legislation that the governor has signed that open up markets by reducing the procurement requirements for counties and schools to buy from local producers. And frankly, what all of us can do is buy a gallon of milk and drink another glass of milk a day.
Got milk?
Okay, Morgan.
Thank you for your question, Supervisor. I agree. I go to Stewart's pretty much every night to get some ice cream, so I am doing my part with the dairy industry on my personal life. But the bottom line is, my biggest focus with dairy farmers, after speaking with them for 2 years now in this campaign, is finding opportunities in new markets for them to sell their products. And I think whether you agree with his usual policies or not, so many dairy farmers in this district are so happy with President Trump's new trade deal with Mexico and Canada. It's opening a lot of opportunities for our dairy farmers to sell their milk in Canada. And whether you like him or not, we should be thankful for that, especially being from such an agriculturally focused community, especially with dairy farming. The next thing I want to focus on, bottom line, farming is a business. New York has the worst business climate in the country. We need to make sure that we're not acting as in government as a roadblock at every turn for farmers, for small business owners of all kinds. We need to act as a partner to them. And one thing I hear all the time, especially in one-on-one meetings with dairy farmers, is that they feel like with the regulations, there is not a dairy farmer present in the room. And that's what I hope to do. I hope to bring their voice and make sure that they feel listened to and respected by Governor Cuomo all the way down to the Assembly. So thank you very much for your question, Supervisor. Okay, it works now. Thanks. Sorry, at first it was tugging. I didn't want to pull it.
All right, next question.
And it'll go to Morgan Zegers.
Excellent. My name is Charles. I'm from the town of Wilton. My question is for both candidates. Do you support Governor Cuomo's plan to give the convicted felons the right to vote?
Thank you for your question, Charles. Absolutely not. I think those moves by Governor Cuomo, especially letting sex offenders and rapists vote in our schools last month and this coming election, is incredibly dangerous, and it's out of step with our upstate values. And it's just another reason why we need more conservative voices in upstate New York, bringing our upstate values down to Albany to remind Governor Cuomo what this is all about. Thank you.
No, I don't. I think we have a process in place today where once someone has served their time and completed their parole and all of the conditions of their parole, they can petition to have their voting rights reinstated. That's a process that has been in place for a century or more, and I think that's sufficient. I am not, I don't believe we should be doing, we should be abusing the pardon process in the way that it has been abused by the governor in the last couple of months.
Okay, thank you. This next question is going to be a challenging one, I can tell already, and it's going to go to Carrie Warner first.
Hello, I'm Jason Schwartz, a student at Saratoga High and a resident in the 113th District, and my question for both candidates is, which federal elected officials do you look up to the most, and which policies of theirs do you respect?
Jason, are you talking about current office holders or through history? Current office holders. Mayor Dan Carpenter's back here, and I really respect Dan.
But, okay.
Jason, your question is a serious one, and I'm going to give you a serious answer. You know, I am, I think that we have in our lieutenant governor a woman who is just a vibrant elected official who has served in local government, she served in state government, she served at the federal level, and I think that her, the energy that she brings to supporting economic development, particularly in upstate, has been remarkable to watch. I have had the privilege to tour with her a number of our breweries, distilleries, wineries, which is just a sample of the kind of economic development that she has been supportive of through her career. And it has really been, that work has been a boon to us in upstate New York.
Okay, thank you, Carrie. Morgan Zegers.
My idol right now at the federal level is Nikki Haley. She is currently serving at the federal level, which yours is serving at the state level. But Nikki Haley is an independent voice for everyone in our country, and she stands up. Most importantly, she served in the state legislature in South Carolina. At first was not in favor of term limits, and then she experienced that corruption and she said, oh my gosh, we need term limits. And then as governor, she advocated for term limits. It was one of the first political moves that I've ever witnessed as a young girl, and I'm proud to be sort of hoping to embody that in the state assembly as well. So thank you very much. And I would like to know your federal idol.
I don't think that she had her turn. Sorry, another time. You can put it on Facebook, Carrie. Our next question is going to come to Morgan Zegers first.
My name is Brooke. I'm also a Saratoga High student, and I just want to know how you would work to or encourage younger generations to go out and vote.
Is that for me? Thank you for your question. I find it really important. In high school, I'll admit, I was not politically active. I remember I went to a Gym to Disco fundraiser at Barbecue USA. At that time, it was PJ's. But I really had no thought about that because I was only in the VFW as a ladies auxiliary officer. And it really took me getting involved in those issues to get me interested in politics. So what I think we need to do is relate the issues of the day and treat high schoolers as average Americans who are really affected by these really important issues, just like us. And that's what we can do. For me, I was impacted by veterans issues in a military family, and I started to care about voting. And that was before reaching 18. So I think what I would do most importantly is let everybody know, especially in high school, that legislation right now is going to impact them in the future. And that should be a huge driver for everybody to step up and vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Carrie?
Thank you. I think it's important that we encourage all generations to vote. But with respect to specifically the younger generations, over the last 4 years, it's been my pleasure to meet with school groups both at the Capitol and in their schools and to spend a day with the social studies classes or the government classes to engage with them on the issues that I'm seeing in the legislature that I know will impact them in the most immediate future. So I participate with the Stillwater Participation in Government class. I've been to Hudson Falls. I've been to Saratoga High School. I've been to Boston Spa High School. I've had lots of middle school and high school groups come to meet with me in the Capitol. In addition to that, I always have high school students interning in my office
in the off session, they spend days in the office working. During the on session, they come and they shadow me in the Capitol, because I want to give them a sense of what it means to be in government, how government actually works. And I think, as Morgan said, I think that's the best way that we can inspire young people to participate, is if they see how it really works. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for that question. This one's going to go to Carrie Warner first.
Hello, my name is Holly. I am a resident of Malta and also a small business owner. And my question is actually for both of you. What kind of private sector and nonprofit experience do you have that has helped prepare you for success in the legislature?
Thank you, Holly. So, as I said earlier, I have 30 years of private sector experience before I decided to get into government, working for large companies and small companies. I have managed people, I've hired people, I've fired people, I've dealt with regulations that were relevant in our industry. So I think all of that combined gives me a sense of context so that I have some idea how to solve problems. When I sit down with a small business owner, I understand how to solve problems. And I think that that's reflected in the fact that I received the endorsement of the Business Council, of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, and just today the Upstate Jobs Party, because they recognize that the experience and the wisdom that I bring from that private sector is coming into play in the kind of policy making that I do in the state legislature.
Okay, thank you, Carrie. Morgan Zegers.
Thank you very much for your question. I think my race, I may be 21, I may be young, and I may be quite an unusual candidate, but it pretty much embodies what America is all about. When I was in high school, I cared about veterans' issues. I was upset that 22 veterans commit suicide every day, so I joined my local VFW. It was very strange. I was 16, and I was in a room of people who were at least 4 decades older than me at all times. But I quickly became an officer, and that means the good and the bad. You do the parades, which were really great and exciting, but then you also do the funeral services. So imagine that at 17, I was doing open casket funeral services for strangers that I just knew through an organization that meant so much to me. So that's that kind of experience in the community. I just care about this place, and I want us to all be confident living here and feel good living here and having a great life. When it comes to the private sector, again, I think I'm going to bring a really great working class perspective. I've worked over maybe 8 jobs at this point, all the way from a diner. I served as a popcorn serving bartender on right off Broadway in Saratoga. I've worked at Leah Honda as a service scheduler. I've done a lot of jobs, and I've met a lot of really great people who are frustrated taxpayers in New York State, and it's all contributed to me ending up wanting to run for assembly to contribute, getting us heading in a better direction. So thank you for your question.
Okay, Morgan Zegers will receive your question first.
Hi, I'm Meg Messett from Wilton, and I actually have a question for Ms. Warner. You are a delegate for Hillary Clinton for president. What about Hillary do you support?
Okay, we'll go the other direction. Why not? Do you mind if I go first?
Of course. I said that a little bit ago, so we're even now.
Hillary Clinton was a really interesting senator. She did a lot of good things for our apple farmers, for example. She was strong on upstate New York. And I think that was really what attracted me to her, was the work that she did as a senator for this state. Every elected official is a mixed bag, and the more years of experience they have, the more mixed the bag is. But for me, the issue was she was good on upstate New York issues.
Okay, I don't know if you want to make a comment about Morgan.
I'll always comment on Hillary. She was my least favorite politician that I've ever had the pleasure of knowing about. And that's about it. Thank you.
All right, next. Next question will go to...
It's actually a candidate for Candidate Zegers. It's a question for Candidate Zegers. So my name is Colin from the town of Wilton. Candidate Zegers, tonight you've expressed a lot of very ambitious and in many ways commendable ideas. However, should you get elected, you will most likely be a junior member of the Assembly minority. So how are you going to put those ideas into action as what would be one of the junior members of the Assembly minority?
Yeah. What's your name?
My name's Colin.
Colin, thank you so much for your question. This is that mindset that I'm running against. It's that idea that to get anything done in Cuomo's Albany, you have to be in that Democratic majority. In the long run, I do not want to live in a state where that's how our legislation is made. In the short run, it's known that Democrats take Republican legislation and turn it into their own and then pass it. If that's what has to be done to get legislation that would bring results for the community, then sure, go ahead. I'm not trying to get a list of how many bills I can pass and how many bills I can get co-sponsored in the assembly. It's not about me. I'm trying to end that mindset that we need to be in a certain party to get legislation done, that we need to be, you know, silent on Governor Cuomo's corruption in order to get anything done. That's the mindset that I'm hoping to be, and I hope to be a vocal leader against all of that. So thank you very much.
Okay, Carrie Warner.
You know, it's true. Elections have consequences, and when you're in the majority in a legislative body, it gives you some privileges. And one privilege is that you get to introduce legislation that benefits the people that you are elected to represent. And that is what I enjoy. One of the things that I have found, however, in sitting in that conference of 107 people, is that I'm one of the few members who represents rural upstate New York. And that voice is important in that room. For example, last year, New York City needed to fund the MTA improvements, and it's a horrible system that 6 million people use, there's no question about it. But when the downstate members of my party recommended that we institute a gas tax to pay for it, I objected loud and long. And so we don't have a gas tax that was imposed last year in the budget to support the downstate MTA agenda. Why? Because I'm in the room. Because I represent rural upstate New York and the way we live and the values that we live by. Thank you.
Okay, this next one will go to Carrie Warner first. Another challenging question.
Hello, my name is Paul Sheehan. I'm from Saratoga Springs High School. I'm a student there. I'm a sophomore. I have a very important question about gun safety in our schools. Recently, the Saratoga Springs School Board refused to enact a bill that would allow armed guards in our school. So this is my question. Do you support armed guards in our schools, and why?
I think everybody has the right to be safe and secure in their own home and in their own school, and parents have the right to send their kids to school knowing that they're going to come home safe at night. How that happens is a matter of policymaking for duly elected school boards. And those school board members are elected by members of the community to make decisions that are in the context of that particular school. Saratoga Springs School Board, again, a duly elected body, decided that in their school, they didn't want to see armed guards. In the Greenwich School, they have them. In other schools in the district, they have them. And it's a matter of choice. I would encourage every school to, whether that's through school resource officers that are armed or whether it's through technology, that schools make the effort to harden the safety infrastructure for their schools, because I said everybody has the right to be safe and secure in their school, and every parent has a right to expect that the kid they put on the bus in the morning is going to get off in the afternoon. Thank you.
Okay, Morgan Zegers.
Thank you so much for your question. I too read the news when the school board voted on that, and I was incredibly disappointed. As an assemblywoman, I will work with Sheriff Zerlo and Sheriff Murphy of Washington and Saratoga counties to fight for funding so that every school in the district has a school resource officer that is armed. I think the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. That's my opinion. I grew up in a gun-owning family. I am a proud member of the NRA. I bought my own membership with those tips that I earned that you've heard so much about. I'm proud to be endorsed by the NRA. I have an A rating. I'm proud to be endorsed by NYSERPA, the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, with an A rating. To me, responsible gun ownership is key to a safe community, and it's key to a safe school. So I will definitely work to make sure you guys are safe in school with an armed resource officer. Thank you.
Okay, next question will go to Morgan first.
Good evening. My name is Dan Carpenter from the Village of Schuylville, and welcome to the Village on behalf of our residents. Thank you for participating in this tonight. I'm going to double down on Colin's question. As a member of the minority, or as a member of the majority, we have been able to see what a productive legislature can do for our community. We are receiving grant money coming back into our village at record rates compared to the her predecessor, and we'd like to really kind of understand that it would be ideal if you could stand up to Cuomo, but as number 43 out of the Republican minority, I don't think it's unrealistic for us to ask you to live in reality and tell us how you will be productive to stand up to Cuomo.
So that's an interesting question. I would hate to live in a state where if you stand up to corruption, you can't get anything done. I think you're just admitting right now how bad our state is. If you're saying that I wouldn't be able to get anything done for standing up to the leader of our state who's continually disrespecting us, overtaxing us, and just being a complete jerk about a lot of issues upstate New York. I'm pretty shocked by that question, to be honest. Overall, like I said, legislation presented by a Republican, that's a great idea for our area. If a Democrat wants to take it and get their name slapped on it, go ahead. Stuff has happened, the pensions being stripped from corrupt politicians, that was a Republican idea. That was a Republican bill that the Democrats wanted. So they took it, they made it a new bill or whatever they did, and then they passed it under a Democratic name. If you guys have to do that to pass your legislation, then go ahead, have it. Fine by me, but as long as it's going to bring results for the area. So thank you very much for your question. Regardless of that, I'm still going to stand up to Governor Cuomo, and I'm still going to put in the effort and the work that it takes to represent this community, from all the local issues to the state issues to the federal issues that tie into the state level. But that does not mean I have to be silent on the very, very important issue of corruption with Governor Cuomo. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You know, I have a record of standing up to the governor. When he got on his bus and he said we should have a $15 minimum wage across the entire state, I said, you know what, we can't tolerate a $15 minimum wage in upstate New York. Our economy's not strong enough, our businesses aren't strong enough. And I developed a proposal in counterpoint to that regionalized minimum wage. It was publicized when it happened, and as a result of that, because I made that proposal, we have a regional minimum wage where upstate New York is never going to pay a $15 minimum wage. That's what it means to stand up in a productive way to the governor. I focus on the issues and the issues that matter in our state and in our region. So minimum wage, workers' comp, the tipped wage credit, the seasonal workers. These are the things that I stand up to the governor on. When he's trying to push policies that make no sense for upstate New York, I push back. I trust all of you to read the same newspapers that I do, to listen to the same news reports that I do, and draw your own conclusions and cast your vote at the ballot box the way it's meant to be. I'm in the legislature. I'm not in the executive branch. I work with 213 legislators to pass bills, and then the governor either signs them or vetoes them, and I've had a few of both. But the point is that it's a separation of powers. He's going to do what he's going to do, and I trust you all to make the right decision on November 6th.
Okay, this next question will go to Carrie Warner first.
Hi, Tara Gaston from Saratoga Springs. Do you support GENDA? If so, do you think it can be improved? If not, why?
I do support GENDA. I have voted for GENDA. This is the transgender rights bill. We have a number of, we have a large community in Saratoga County and in Washington County, LGBT community, and the trans community is growing. It is important that we provide the same civil rights for all citizens in this country, whether they are whatever their gender, whatever their sexual orientation, our civil rights are our civil rights. It's what's guaranteed in the Constitution. So I have been a proud supporter of GENDA. I think, can we get it passed? It will depend on what happens in the Senate this year.
Thank you for your question, Tara. I do not support GENDA because the 5th and the 14th Amendments already protect individuals from being discriminated against in the workplace. I don't believe in overregulation. I don't believe in putting that burden on our small businesses' shoulders. That's what I've heard from small businesses. It's just going to be another regulation. We already have the protections in place. I don't believe in anybody being discriminated against in the United States of America. I don't. We have the protections in place, and I would not support GENDA. Thank you.
Okay, I think we have two more questions left. So this one will go to Morgan Zegers first.
I have here, I'm Jackie Barg from Argyle. I have here a pamphlet, and I was wondering, Morgan Zegers, if you propose to cut our property taxes by 30% and give us double our rebate on the STAR, how you will make up for the lost revenues, and how you propose funding things such as opioid treatment without those funds.
Am I first? Okay. Thank you very much for your question. It's very clear that in New York State, we have a spending problem, not a revenue problem. We have the highest state and local tax burden in the country. We should want improvement from that. There is room for improvement on that, and that's what's so great about New York almost. There's so much wrong that there's so much opportunity to improve. What I'm saying is New York State has twice the budget of Florida, and Florida has twice the number of people as New York. What are we doing wrong here? We can focus on making responsible spending decisions, and that's what I want to do. I have a family member who works in the healthcare sector locally. I have spoken with many healthcare sector workers. Medicaid accounts for about half of our budget. What we need to do is take a good look at Medicaid, because a lot of the benefits that we have opted into as a state are not required at the federal level, and it causes bloating, it causes overspending, and it causes fraud. I want to focus on making sure that the benefits that people on Medicaid receive are equal to those that are received on Medicare, because quite often they're actually a little bit better. We can be responsible spenders in New York State, we can lower taxes, and it can all be done pretty reasonably. And I think we could get bipartisan support on it if we explain where that overspending is occurring. So thank you very much for your question. Thank you, Jackie.
So let's recap where things stand from a tax perspective. We have a 2% tax cap, which I would propose that we should make permanent. And that has slowed the growth in local property taxes. We have the lowest personal income tax rate since the 1940s now. And beginning in 2018, we implemented a five-year reduction in personal income tax rates. So when you go to do your taxes in the spring, you will start to see the reduction in those rates. We have the lowest business tax rate since the 1950s. So when a small business that has, say, less than $500,000 worth of receipts, they will pay $25 in business taxes. We have taken steps in the legislature to cut the tax burden on the middle class dramatically. When we talk about Medicaid and we talk about the benefits under Medicaid, I think it's important to understand that most of the people on Medicaid are either children or the elderly poor. And in Florida, if you go to Florida and you are elderly and you run out of your own income and you need nursing home care, Medicaid doesn't provide it in Florida. So they'll put you out on the street. In New York, you come back here. We'll make sure that you have a bed, three meals, somebody to keep you clean, and that you'll die in dignity. Yes, our Medicaid rates are higher. Yes, we provide more benefits. But frankly, I think that's consistent with our values.
We're almost done. This will be our last question, it looks like. And this one goes to Carrie Warner first.
My name is Robin Lyle. I'm also from Argyle. It was really heartening to see the high school students up here asking their questions, especially since I'm a former social studies teacher. And they've given me the courage to also get up here and ask my question, so thanks for that. Pensions are becoming less and less commonly available, and many small nonprofits, like the one that I worked for, aren't able to afford to provide retirement programs to their employees. Many retirees do not have enough savings for a secure retirement. Are you concerned about this, and what can you do in the assembly to help?
I am concerned about this. The average savings that an American family has is about $11,000. Not even close to enough to retire on. And as we're experiencing the aging of the baby boomers, and many of them don't have pensions, they're going to be reliant on Social Security, which, as we know, is frequently under attack. So yes, we have a potential serious problem with how our elderly are going to support themselves. In this past legislative session, we passed a Secure Choice bill that would enable small businesses to participate in setting up a 401k program for their employees. It won't require a contribution by the employer or an expense by the employer to set it up, which has been really the problem for small business owners, is that it costs money to set these programs up, and then they are required to provide a match. The Secure Choice doesn't require that, and we hope that will be something that businesses will take advantage of, nonprofits, to try and help people grow their own retirement savings.
Thank you for your question. First of all, like Assemblywoman Warner mentioned, Social Security is failing. And what I hope is that the federal government can get its act together and come up with a long-term solution. But right now at the state level, again, this all goes back to my basic thoughts that New York State is one of the worst states for business. When we are unfriendly to businesses, they do not have room to grow, they do not have room to expand, they don't have room to hire, and they don't have room to give better benefits and better opportunities and plans for their employees. That's one of the major reasons, again, why I'm running for state assembly, to get us to be a pro-business state, because then we won't have to have people who can't find a job and have to rely on Medicaid and welfare. Then we wouldn't have people who can't build a strong enough savings to retire. That's the kind of long-term vision that I have for New York State, and I want people, again, to feel confident building a future and a long-term career in New York State, so thank you.
Okay. I think we have one last question, and that's going to go to Morgan Zegers first.
Hi, Julie from Stillwater. I'd like to ask, both of you, but I think I know the answer to one. Where do you get your health care?
I'm 21, so I get it from my parents still.
I get my health care from my employer.
Okay. So I have a challenge for all of you, and I hope you can accept it. We're going to have the candidates give their one-minute closing statements, and I would like you to hold your applause until the very end of the night, and then we will give our applause to everybody here, to the audience, to the candidates. Do you think you can do that? Oh, come on. So let's give it a try, because there are some announcements we want to make after the candidates talk, and I think it would work a lot smoother if we do it that way. So it's time for our closing statements. You only have 1 minute, and Carrie Warner drew, and she's going to be going first.
Thank you all so much for being here tonight, and thank you to my opponent for a spirited discussion. Elections are the most important thing we can do as part of a democracy. We are a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And when the people don't participate in the electoral process, it undermines the fundamentals of our democracy. So thank you so much for participating this evening. It's been my privilege to represent you for the last 4 years. I stand on my record of accessibility, accomplishment, and accountability. I have passed legislation that is derived from the input that I have gotten from my constituents. I've brought resources back to meet critical needs in the district. And I am accessible all through a variety of different ways and accountable to you and only to you for the work that I do. I humbly ask for your support on November 6th. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie Warner. Morgan Zegers, it's your turn.
Thank you again, Kathy. Thank you guys all for coming tonight. I really appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time. New York State is heading in such a bad direction. If we're not ranked 50th in something, we're ranked 49th or 48th. And that's not okay with me. Cuomo is continuing every day, does another corrupt doing, or somebody is indicted, or somebody's charged with a guilty verdict. And when we have a current incumbent who, this is not a personal attack, I'm just saying, when we have a current incumbent who is maybe vocal about an eighth of the issues that Cuomo has brought to our state, it's not enough for me, and I will promise to do more than that. New Yorkers are fleeing. Half my family's moved out of the state by now, and I see every day one of my friends is moving to a new state for a better job opportunity. One of my family members is saying that they're going to go retire in Florida or North Carolina. People don't want to be in New York State anymore. That's why 1 million people have moved out in the last 10 years. So that ethical leadership that I've talked about, the economic development on Main Street that we need, and that the lower taxes and the affordable living that we need, that's what I will continue to fight for. So thank you very much, and I hope I can have your vote on November 6th.
Okay.